Extra time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. This week, we have an African Cup of Nations special. It's finally here. Who better to join me on the podcast this week? I haven't been here for a long time, actually. I've been cast away from the pod, but this week I'm joined by Zach Jelab and Sam Obaseki.
Come on.
Representing Algeria and Nigeria, respectively, for this competition. Sam, let's kick off with you, because out of the two countries, I'd say Nigeria have started off in better form. How are you feeling about the AFCON? Are you excited for it to be back?
I'm very excited. I like the fact that it's getting a lot of coverage, this tournament. I like the fact that Nigeria actually played really well. Like, it wasn't it wasn't surprising, because obviously we've always had the players, but obviously we failed to qualify in 2015, failed to qualify 2017 as well. We changed our manager last minute, so I was thinking this could be up in the air. Like, I didn't really know what to expect with this team, but I saw the starting lineup, saw Joe Rebo starting in the middle with Iheanacho as well. It's kind of questioning that, but then when we started playing, we just looked like we were on top from the beginning. We nullified Salah as well. I think he had one shot the whole game. Every time he literally got on the ball, you would see three men just onto him, and that was just a beautiful sight to see. So yeah, and Iheanacho scored a banger. So I think, and I'm not being biased. I honestly think from all the games that I've watched in AFCON so far, obviously it's still early on to say. I think the way we performed, you can say we're up there with the favourites still.
Wow, there we go. All right, well, we'll get into that a little bit later. Zach, defending champion Algeria, not the greatest start against Sierra Leone, must be said, but I mean, still, you look at that side and you think Algeria are one of the favourites for this competition once more.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same side that won it 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, however long ago it was. And so you'd kind of feel confident. The only issue with that is the squad is getting on now. They're all reaching their 30s or way into their 30s. And still players like Fagouli and Brahimi are starting for the Algeria squad when Ben Rama's sitting on the bench, who's kind of going to be the next big player, especially in Europe, for Algeria. Obviously performing pretty well for West Ham recently, and it does shock me that he isn't starting. I don't know whether there's some sort of thing with him and the manager going on or whatever it is. Or just the manager kind of knows what's worked previously a couple of years ago and wants to go again. Fair play to Sierra Leone. I thought they were really good. They were underdogs going into this game. A lot of people thought Algeria would kind of batter them. And they defended really, really well. The goalkeeper was brilliant.
It was quality.
Stephen
he was
Hawker
quality.
Playing at the back as well. Hadn't heard that name in a long, long time. I also found out as well that Stephen Hawker almost played for Scotland. So what a switch up. But yeah, mate, I'm buzzing for the AFCON. Like, I love watching the African Cup of Nations. Like, it makes me feel really connected to Algeria and Africa, and something which obviously when you live and essentially been raised in England, apart from when I go and visit like family in Algeria, it's the only time I really ever think about it as well and feel connected. So it's nice, and as Sam said, it's good that there's it feels like there's getting a bit more coverage, at least on social media, than normal. But yeah, I mean, we'll talk a bit more about Algeria, I guess, as we go into it. But as for the competition, like, I'm buzzing that it's back.
Nah, class. You're completely right. Ian Wright correctly sort of hit out people that have been criticising it. The narrative isn't, European clubs are losing their players. The narrative is this is, you know, the premier tournament in African competition. And it is exciting that it's finally there. I mean, it's taken a while for Cameroon to host it. Obviously, they were meant to. I think the previous edition in 2019, that ultimately went to Egypt as they weren't particularly ready, and it's been delayed, etc. It was meant to be in the summer. That's a winter competition, and it is here, and you know, it's really exciting for a lot of these nations. We saw how much it meant for Sierra Leone. That's one of their first appearances in 30 years. The goalie sort of in tears as he received his Man of the Match award. Teams like Mauritania as well, the Gambia. There's a lot of sort of first-timers at the competition. So, yeah, there's a lot to look forward to. Just to give a breakdown for anyone who's not been watching, there's six groups of comprising of 24 teams. It's the same as the Euros, essentially. Top two teams are going to go through, and the four lucky kind of runners-up, and that's going to comprise the last 16, and we'll go from there. I'll be honest, it's not been a particularly thrilling first round of fixtures.
No, it's the nerves.
We've had Yeah, we've had Cameroon beat Burkina Faso, which was actually quite a good game, I thought. But two penalties in that and an awful disallowed goal from VAR.
Yeah.
Cape Verde got one over Ethiopia. And then since then it's been a bit of a slow burner. Senegal needed like a last minute penalty to beat Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Guinea beat Malawi 1-0. 1-0 wins for Morocco versus Ghana and Gabon versus the Comoros. I think it's their first time in the competition as well. Nigeria, obviously, 1-0. 0-0 between Sudan and Guinea-Bissau, although I thought Guinea-Bissau played quite well in that game. 0-0 Algeria, Sierra Leone, and we'll see what happens with Equatorial Guinea versus Cote d'Ivoire, and then Tunisia versus Mali, Mauritania versus Gambia. So yeah, the final results will be out after we've shot this podcast. So let's see. But yeah, Sam, you reckon they're nervous, do you? You reckon that's what's attributed to it?
Yeah, and also some of the pictures that I've seen as well haven't really helped as well. But at the same time, I feel like most of the African nations are used to playing on those type of pitches, and I feel like that's what you almost like seeing when you're watching the AFCON. I think the first game, Cameroon and Burkina Faso, yeah, in the first 30 seconds, we saw a red card challenge that was just insane. Yeah,
so good. Then
the ref gave a yellow, and I was like, yeah. The AFCON has arrived, because both of them got up straight away, and it was just like, okay, cool. And even in the Nigeria game, I think Simons, he literally barged the Egypt right back, and he was down for time, and I was like, this is what I've needed to see. Do you know what I mean? It's this pure heart, pure desire. I feel like international football in general, speaking about it yesterday with Zach here, it's like there's not that many like tactics and passages of play where you're like, yeah, you could see that they did that on the training ground, but it's more about them just wanting to do so well for their country. And I think we're seeing that in these games. And also the first game is always going to be nerve-wracking, because a lot of these nations haven't actually had that many friendlies. I know Nigeria didn't play that many friendlies before their game, so they're getting used to playing with people as well, with their team as well. So yeah, I'm sure the second round of fixtures and the third round of fixtures will be much better.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, even things like COVID are very prevalent at this competition. The Gambia forced to miss two warm-up matches. Senegal lined up without Edouard Mendy and Koulibaly for their first game as well, which definitely, I would say, contributed to their inability to perhaps win that as more comfortably as we were expecting them to. It looks quite intrigued to see what attendances are going to be like across the tournament. Apparently they've been capped at 60% for COVID, with 80% for Cameroon fixtures, but you need to be double vaccinated and have proof going into a match, and only 2% of the country in Cameroon is vaccinated. Yeah. But so far, I think across the matches, we've seen kind of that colour and everything that we've been sort of looking forward to. But if we start off by looking at the favourites, let's say, let's start with the host nation, Cameroon. Because there's a lot of big players at this tournament. There's a lot of really big players. They come in on a 5-match winning streak. They've only lost 1 in 10. They've got people like Andre Onana in goal, probably other than Mendy, the premier keeper at the competition. Yeah. And Guisa, absolutely bossing at midfield. Toko Ekambi for Lyon, he's brilliant. Clinton Ng, who some Premier League fans might remember, he's balling out for Dinamo Moscow. And then Eric Choupo-Moting, the super sub of European football. he's there as well. Vincent Aboubakar, the captain. I mean, Zach, what do you make of Cameroon's chances? Because they're feeling pretty confident.
They've got a solid spine to their squad, and obviously they've got such a rich history with the competition. When obviously Samuel Eto'o played and was fantastic and drove them onto several successes, they've got a really good spine. Onana's an interesting one, because obviously he's just signed for Inter Milan, I think, or signing for Inter Milan. And he's not played football now for a long time. That whole debacle was crazy. And the actual story's even crazy. I won't go quite into it, but it's an interesting read, that's for sure. And so he'll be wanting to obviously play and get confidence back before returning to Inter Milan. Frank Zambo and Gisa is a player who I've who I've always been impressed by, and it says a lot that obviously he went on loan to is it Napoli he went to in the end?
Yeah,
I know he went. He had a season as well at Villarreal and was fantastic, and it didn't quite work out for him in the Premier League and Fulham. But I was always quite. I always did enjoy watching him play. I thought he's a very dominant midfielder, and in the African Cup of Nations, I think that's kind of what you need in the midfield. And as you kind of mentioned, like Choupo-Moting is an experienced guy who can lead them up front. Aboubakar up top as well is also someone who's played in Europe as well. So they've got the names. They've kind of got the experienced players there as well. It's just about whether it can all come together. Like, I find one of the things about the African Cup of Nations sides is a lot of them do have some big names, right? They've got names that are well known, but it's about how well they link with the rest of the squad. Whether you know, because when Algeria won the African Cup of Nations a few years ago, a few of those players were players that were playing in Algeria, and they were able to kind of be these, not necessarily squad players, but they were able to fill the holes in the squad, and in the end it managed to get moves to European clubs. So that's because that's a whole other part of the African Cup of Nations that I think people forget about, is it's kind of a shopping window as well, where these players, where they've got all eyes on them, like people maybe watching to see Mohamed Salah and Iheanacho and Riyad Mahrez, but also these other guys that are in their squad have the ability here. They also perform. They can get a move themselves. As for Cameroon, I think they are up there for sure. I think they've got a good mix of kind of experience, but also youth as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think a real feature of this tournament is the quality of central midfielders. Looking at every squad seems to have at least one or two enforcers running through their side. I mean, with Nigeria, you've got Ndidi representing. And then Cote d'Ivoire, you've got Ibrahima Sangare, who I think for PSV, really someone to watch this tournament. Next to Franck Kessier in the middle. A similar theme to a lot of the sides, like some big, big players. Even El Neni for Egypt, he looked so frustrated in that match yesterday, I must say. Like, it's kind of what you were saying, Zach. I mean, he just didn't seem to have any supply whatsoever. He was desperately looking, and it's no surprise to see their tactics resolved to pumping it long to Mo Salah. But I mean, Sam, Nigeria aside, who's the team that you're probably fearing the most this year?
I think Ivory Coast have a good squad, you know. I think that their squad is kind of going under the radar in a sense. Obviously they've got Seb Hallows doing bits for Ajax in the league and also in the Champions League as well. They've got Nicolas Pepe, they've got Kessier, like they've got a lot of ballers in their team that have experience not just in the Champions League or in the Premier League, but also playing together. Like, I feel like they're at that ripe age where this could be their year, but it also depends on how well they play together. Like Zach said, we've seen a lot of teams this year with the names, but it's almost, I think it's down to how, I wouldn't say it's down to the tactics. Well, it is down to the tactics, but it's down to the structure. Because I think yesterday, one thing that I really liked with watching Nigeria, when we were playing 4-3-3, you could see the way we were playing, but then we kind of switched it to a 4-2-2-2, and it made sense in terms of nullifying Salah and nullifying El Nene, and that's why he was getting so frustrated in the game. But I think in terms of like individual excellence and individual quality, I think Ivory Coast are at the top right now, because I watched the Algeria's game. I wasn't too impressed. I can say it was down to Sierra Leone actually playing, defending really well as a unit as well, but I don't think that they will. Well, it depends. I don't want to talk too soon because it was only the first game, but I think Ivory Coast is probably my dark horses.
I completely agree there. For some reason, a lot of the bookies weren't putting them as one of the favourites, and then I had another look at their squad.
Even their defence is quality as well.
Sorry, I was going to say, they've always had a very good squad, like ever since really Didier Drogba. Like that squad around him was fantastic and grew to be something brilliant. They won the AFCON. And then after Drogba kind of retired, it did fall. Like, they didn't quite know how to build their team and who to build it around and what to do. Whereas this time, the squad that they've got there, there's a really nice kind of 4-3-3 they can play where yeah. everyone fits in really well. Like you've got yeah. Seb Alla up top, you've got Zaha on the left wing.
Didn't even mention
you've got
Zaha.
Frank Kessie right. You got Frank Kessie in midfield, who's someone who's been brilliant. Nicolas Pepe on the right wing. Like all the big names seem to kind of fit the positions. And so I think yeah, they're a huge team this year. They're in Algeria's group as well. I think that's going to be an interesting game when they play each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Ivory Coast have a potential to go all the way.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly, I don't know how Burnley expect to survive. Now they've sold. Chris Wood, and they've got Maxwell Cornet playing out for Ivory Coast. That's literally their two best players gone for a month. So yeah, Cornet, I'm excited to see what he can do. He's been fun since he's come to the Premier League.
And they've got obviously Baye, he hasn't necessarily had the greatest of time at Manchester United, but every time I've seen him play this season, he's not necessarily done terrible. I think injuries have shaked him a lot. With his time at Manchester United, obviously he's linked with a move away to AC Milan, but they've got Baye, they've got Serge Aurier, they've got Konan from Reims, like they've got Willy Boly, they've just got a solid foundation. We were talking about the foundation earlier of I can't remember which team, but I think Ivory Coast, out of all the teams this year, if we're looking for player for player, I don't think many teams can match them.
But yeah, no, you are definitely correct. Like they've got big names in those positions to fill. Like actually thinking about it, they probably have the kind of best squad for individuals, if that makes sense.
He did travel, he played
in Europe. Okay, yeah, that's a solid back line. It's a solid back line.
You know what? I would say that Senegal is equally as good. I think there's a reason they're probably the favourites. They're the highest ranked African team. Yeah. 20th in the world at the moment. You've got Alou Cissé as their coach, who was the coolest bloke at the previous World Cup. Still going strong. Remember that Puma suit that you wore?
Yeah.
That's it, class. It's so nice. But yeah, I mean, if we talk about like solid team across the board, Mendy in goal, Koulibaly still at centre half, Abdou Diallo, Bounassar, he plays for Bayern Munich. Once again in the midfield, some sort of real crushes in Idrissa Gueye and Cheick Kouyaté. Mane, who could, he's always contended to be player of the tournament. Yeah, he's pretty decent. Ismail Assar, they managed to pinch him from Watford. Yeah. Watford were being particularly tricky when it came to releasing players for this competition, as I'm sure Sam is well aware of, with Nigeria and Emmanuel Dennis. And then they've got, you know, Buladia, he's been really interesting for Villarreal this season. I, you know, won 5 and drew 1 of their World Cup qualifying stage. I think for me, Senegal are the favourites. I think that squad, there's plenty more players I haven't even mentioned in there. I just think surely down the line they're ones that you're going to be kind of nervous about coming up against, because even Mane, they've got a world beater, and unlike Egypt, who I'd say this isn't a vintage Egyptian squad. No. We've seen some really brilliant squads over the years, but they just look, I mean, the thing that they've got going for them is a lot of the teams play domestically for the same club sides. Mm. Al Ahly, Zamalek, Pyramids.
Yeah.
But they are slightly ageing. I mean, Hegazi's really the leader at the back. Carlos Queiroz, he's a clever guy on the touchline. But they just looked... I think if you compare Senegal, there's just a lot more star quality running through that side, which is going to get them over the line this season. I mean, do you agree with me, Zach, or am I sort of... talking nonsense?
No, I think you're pretty right. Like, I'd be surprised they didn't make it to the final. Like, obviously they made it to the final last year, and if you actually look at their squad compared to in 2019, and if you look at their squad now compared to 2019, I'd probably say it's improved. Like, they've still got their star players, they've still got Sarr, they've still got Mane, they've added in defence with Koulibaly. I can't remember whether he was injured or whatever it was last time they played out. They've got Mendy as well now in goal instead of Gomis. Like, it's definitely a better side. So I kind of put them to go all the way. Like, I wouldn't be too surprised. As you said, Sadio Mane getting player of the tournament, again, wouldn't surprise me. They had a really good tournament in 2019 as well. And I kind of see them doing the same. They've got a decent group to get out of. They've got majority of their players. Like, okay, they've got a few that have got COVID at the moment, but once they're back, the side gets improved. Like, they had a pretty good game where they won just 1-0, and they weren't even having all of their star players playing. So I wouldn't be too surprised if they made it to the final.
Yeah, and Mane actually looks very hungry. Like he seems like he's trying to. I know a lot of people thought that Salah would do the same with Egypt, but like you guys said, with Senegal, they've got more of a balanced squad, so it's not that it's obviously going to be difficult to just like get out to Mane, but he's not the only threat in their squad. You know what I mean? So, but when he does get the ball, he just seems so much more threatening. And I read an interview of him talking beforehand, and he was saying that if he could take away all the trophies that he's won for Liverpool or at club level and win the AFCON with Senegal, he would. So you can tell that he genuinely wants to give back to his country. Like he feels like, and he's obviously he's involved in many projects back home as well. So he wants this so bad. So the fact that they made the final last time around, you can tell that he knows that feeling and he just wants to make it over the line. So I'll definitely put Senegal as one of the favourites.
You know what's quite interesting is I had a look at the 10 teams that are in the World Cup final qualifying rounds in Africa, and it's all basically the same sides as Russia a few years ago, plus DR Congo, Mali, etc. So I think there's a real continuity at the moment in African football. Like the big teams are really stepping on it, producing like some serious talent at the moment. Just quickly, Zach, can you if we go to Algeria, when I was researching this, Baghdad Benouja up front, forgive me if I'm pronounced that wrong. His goal scoring record for Al Sadd in Qatar is nuts. 169 goals and 165 appearances. I was wondering if you could give a little breakdown of Algeria, maybe some of the other players worth checking out, because you know that's unreal.
No, for sure. I mean he I can't remember if it was 2020 or 2019, but it was like he was like second or third for most goals scored in the year or something like that. He has been tearing up for Algeria. For Al Sadd in Qatar. Algeria is an interesting one, man, because it, as I kind of said earlier, it's quite the same squad as it was in 2019, which isn't a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does worry me that like we're not seeing any kind of youngsters come through into the national team. As I mentioned, the fact that Fagouli and Brahimi both played against Sierra Leone and Benrahma, who is the up and coming talent and someone you'd want to play in one of those 10 slots that Algeria essentially play like a 4-5-1. You'd want him in one of those slots. And it surprised me that Fagouli's still getting that squad. And who knows, maybe they'll change up. I do know the manager that does like to kind of change it up game by game, so I wouldn't be too surprised if he did start. I hope he does. Because once Algeria did make the changes against Sierra Leone, I thought they were a million times better. The last 5 minutes, they could have scored about four goals. It was ridiculous. And Benrahma was one of those changes. I thought he made it much, much better. Look, Algeria is still a side that rely heavily on Riyad Mahrez, and like most sides, like Senegal as well, they rely heavily on Sadio Mane. When you've got a player that's so talented and so great as someone like Mahrez is on that right side, who can dominate it, and then you've also got Atal, who's another fantastic right back, and probably hasn't really gone on too much from the previous AFCON, but he's still quite young. Algeria have a frightening right side that can cause trouble. The issue is that they're still starting Slimani up front, who's getting older and realistically can only head the ball, if I'm being quite honest. And so they are still heavily relying on Mahrez to relying heavily on Mahrez to kind of do the damage. And one thing that Algeria was so good at the last AFCON was every game they were scoring goals. They were putting it in the back of the net constantly. They were winning 3-0, 4-1, 3-0, 2-0, until the final, where they literally just won 1-0 by a great free kick. But that was against Senegal. Yeah. Now, I'm probably being a little bit too harsh. I probably am. But it's just the way that I kind of would have expected a little bit more of a change up. Like the idea that Benrahma hasn't played, the idea that even Benassia, who had a great AFCON and now plays AC Milan and is a decent player, plays in Europe, and he didn't even start against Sierra Leone, really does kind of make me question what's happening. So I want to say Algeria will win the AFCON. Like, that's what I want to believe. But if I'm being honest, like, I kind of see maybe we'll get to the semis and kind of go from there. One thing though that I do hope Algeria do, they're on a 36 game unbeaten run now after playing Sierra Leone and drawing 0-0. I think the record is 37 by Italy. That was actually just set through the Euros. And so I hope they beat that. They beat that and then they become the longest unbeaten run for an international side. But, I mean, things can change up. Things can change up. But I'm not as confident as maybe I would have been before the tournament started.
Oof. Mm. No, you won the Arab Cup coming into it, didn't you? So that was
We did. Yeah, we did. But, I mean, that Arab Cup competition was corrupt as they come. And also, it didn't have
20 minutes of extra time, was it?
Yeah, something crazy. Yeah, it was ridiculous. But, I mean, yeah, Algeria have gone into it with all the positives. Like, winning that tournament was great. It's just, yeah, the Sierra Leone game, I wasn't necessarily impressed by it. But also, you know, fair play to Sierra Leone. We'll see. Maybe the next game. Games will maybe change their mind.
I think it'll be interesting to see how teams set up against Algeria now, because I saw it with the way Sierra Leone set up and then the way Nige set up against Egypt. Like, you know, when you've got that one player that is almost... Yeah. The problem, if you nullify them in this competition, I think you have a fair chance of getting a draw or winning that game.
At least with Sierra Leone, like, Riyad Mahrez still had a lot of chances. Like, he still created a lot. Like, the keeper made some great saves. As I said, in the last 5 minutes, Algeria really could have scored three goals. Like, they didn't score in this game beyond me.
Yeah.
But this is what I mean by playing someone like Benrahma as well. It gives them another option, Algeria, to kind of go through the attack and creative guy. Like, Feghouli and Brahimi, like, 5 years ago, great. Like, they would have been fine. But they're just getting on now. They're in their 30s. Like, they're not the players they used to be. And when you've got Benrahma just sitting on the bench there, like, he's tearing it up for West Ham in the Premier League week in, week out. And West Ham are playing so well. And he's just not starting.
Like, doesn't make sense.
I don't know if there's manager beef or whatever it might be, but yeah. Politics. Yeah. I mean, as I said, things might change.
Yeah. You know what? Algeria, I feel like Algeria have been on such a hype since that Germany 2014 World Cup match.
Yeah.
Algeria really took it to them. That was one of the most exciting games of that tournament, wasn't it?
It was. We nearly beat them.
Yeah, that was, and ever since then they've just gone from like strength to strength. But I mean, Sam, if we look at Nigeria quickly, obviously pretty tough. Osimhen asked not to be involved in the squad since he's come back from injury. Then people claiming that he maybe got COVID on purpose. I think Ighalo's now injured as well. Watford refused to release Emmanuel Dennis, basically just being stubborn as after having to lose Ismaili Sarr.
Yeah.
But, and you know, if you look at your attack, like Moses Simon, he's been pretty good for Nantes.
He was quality.
He's a sort of consistent former, if not, sort of, he's not world beating, but he's very consistent. But actually, I think Taiwo Awoniyi, the guy for Union Berlin, he's been banging. He's been, you know, ever since he left Liverpool, he's been absolutely sort of tearing up over in Germany. I mean,
yeah,
irrelevant of the fact that you've maybe in Osimhen lost your best player and Emmanuel Dennis, a man in form. Like you said, still look pretty competent with Iheanacho up front. Are you like quietly confident too?
No, I'm really confident, especially after that game. I think, like I said before, going into that game, I was quite skeptical how the team would sit up, how we'd perform. Obviously, losing Osimhen and Dennis is hard to take, because Osimhen would have added just added another dynamic to the team and another threat. Ighalo, I think, slightly is a blessing in disguise, because sometimes when I've watched Nice play with him, although he's obviously a legend and he's seen as like a great, he does slow down the game a little bit at times. I think Dennis is a bit of a hit, because I think in this type of competition he would have done so well, especially with his form that he's had at Watford. But then again, he did come out, he's had a few issues. He had a few issues with the former manager, because he wanted to play. He was upset with the minutes that he got when he was playing in Germany, I believe it was. And then, obviously, following his form in Watford, he probably just, you know, Niger men were a bit stubborn. Do you know what I mean? So he I feel like he probably could have done more to, you know, push the cause, even if he was injured or even if there was like technical difficulties, because we've seen Sarr, he's been able to leave. So that one is kind of upsetting. But at the same time, I think the team that we have now, the reason why I'm quietly confident is because we've got different threats. Like, Moses Simon. I didn't expect him to be, like, I've watched him play a few times, but like I've seen highlights of him play, but I didn't expect him to be as much of a threat as he was in that game. Obviously Iheanacho, we know he's a goal scorer, we know he can play football, but for Nigeria he was picking up the ball in different places than I'm used to seeing him. Chukwueze, he was just, I saw his mum prayed for him before the tournament, and I said, and I prayed on his legs, yeah, and I said that he's gonna be the player of the tournament after that. Obviously he wasn't as involved in the game against Egypt, but he did have his moments as well. I think Joe Rebo had a quality game as well in that midfield. He got the assist for the Iheanacho goal. Ola Aina at right back, he was quality, he was up and down that line, like literally the whole game, like literally until the last minute.
Class.
So I think seeing a performance like that and the fact that they probably were thinking they're not going into the competition as the favourites, and Nigeria, because of the history we've had and the amount of times we've won it, the amount of times we've reached the finals and the semi-finals, they probably just want to get our name back into that conversation, and I think they're doing a good go at that. So I'm excited.
I agree. I was gutted Fulham lost Ola Aina when we went down last season. He was one of our best players, I thought, when he came in. But yeah, I mean, Sam, do you include yourself in that stubborn Nigerian statement? Because I certainly think that's true.
You know what? I am stubborn. But I'm not stubborn to the extent where, like Dennis, where if I've got the opportunity to play for my country, then I'm not going to play. Like with this squad, I would be so excited. Looking at this Nigeria squad, yeah, I would be so excited to represent Nigeria, but also with the players as well, man.
I think he wanted to play. He wanted to play, but basically Watford's received, he wasn't included in the original 37 man squad. So there was and then Watford just blank refused to accept the sort of the changes later on. So I think he would like to be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's had such an interesting career. It's good to see him doing well. Just a quick shout out to Mali. Everyone's tipping Mali as the kind of underdogs of the tournament. They're the lowest ranked side going into the final World Cup qualifying matches among the African nations. But I don't think they conceded a goal in the most recent round of qualifiers,
which is
comprised of six matches. And if you look at their squad, once again, look at that midfield. Bissouma, who hasn't played for 3 years, but he's gone back in. He's going to be starting against Amadou Haidara, the Leipzig guy that everyone's raving about at the moment. Looks like he could be a future United guy. They've got Mali, have got him and so Bissouma and Haidara are pulling strings in the middle. They've got Moussa Djenepo up front, who, when he produces like pretty stunning goals. It's not always that consistent, is it? And then, you know, Ibrahim, I was looking at sort of players to watch. 22-year-old Ibrahim Okoni up front of Sarpsborg in Norway. He's scoring tons of goals over in Norway at the moment, and I think he's got his record for Mali is a goal a game at the moment, so he's someone to look out for. But yeah, Mali, they could be a real it could be one to watch as well. I don't think ever since the great Freddy Kanute they've had a real star on their side. So yeah.
No, I was going to say, like, having a midfield of Bissouma and Haidara, I haven't watched Haidara play that many games, but I've seen a few highlights, obviously, with United being linked with him. And like Zach said earlier, having a good core in this type of competition gives you a good chance of going far. So I think that if those guys get clicking, and obviously they've got Djenepo up top, I think they could cause a few upsets, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, we're not going to have time to cover all the teams. Even like Tunisia, they'll certainly be favourites. Ghana as well, still got the IU brothers sort of pulling strings around there. Zach, just quickly on Morocco. Ziyech, he's been dropped by the Moroccan team. Apparently, he had a row with the head coach in September, where basically he was accused of not trying hard enough. And he hasn't been picked. Yeah. I mean, do you know anything else on that? Or is this like a blessing in disguise for Chelsea on this front? Because you've lost a fair few players to the AFCON.
We've lost, I think, only Mendy, to be honest. I think Liverpool's what have lost the most, with Sadio Mane, Salah and Keita. I think Chelsea have lost just Mendy, I'm pretty sure.
Well, ignore me.
No, but you're right. No, yeah, Ziyech, but he fell out with the manager. Hasn't been included in a squad since. He doesn't like the manager doesn't like him. He basically said, your attitude stinks, I'm not going to pick you until you apologise. He's not apologised yet.
Classic.
And he seems to be happy. Like, you got to remember, Ziyech is a guy, obviously he loves his nation, he loves Morocco, of course he does, but he's also a guy that has never, like, I think he moved to the Netherlands when he was like 3, and so really probably has stronger links to the Netherlands. That's, again, of course he loves playing for Morocco, but I mean it kind of shows as well that like, if I cared that much about my wanting to play for the my international team, I'd just apologize and just get on with it. But I guess he feels like he's got a leg to stand on, and like as I said, he's now just playing for Chelsea, so it's not the end of the world for him, I guess. If he was playing for like Ajax still, then maybe he would kind of want to prioritise playing for Morocco. But yeah, no, I think they've also got as well Hakimi, but I mean, the Morocco side now isn't like the Morocco side. Say like 10 years ago when they had Del Tarat playing and a few others as well, Shamak up top. There's another midfielder that really escapes me, but I remember him also being half decent. So yeah, they've obviously got the star player in Hakimi, but and they have others. Who's the QPR lad who's doing well? His name escapes me, but he's like they've got if anything they've got a nice up and coming squad that maybe in the next AFCON could prove to be quite dangerous, or even the AFCON after that. But yeah, no, I think Morocco obviously. I don't see them going too far, but who knows, mate? To be honest, I honestly find international football like you don't necessarily need the stars. It's like I said earlier, if you've got a squad that are committed enough and kind of willing to run their legs off, especially in the African Cup of Nations, like willing to absolutely give your all in it, and they've got a few players that can do the magic, then I think you can go quite far.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, Sam, I've noted down a few like ones to watch in the tournament, maybe from countries we haven't touched on as much. Are there any names there that you're pretty excited to follow?
I'd guess Guinea, Naby Keita. I always feel like he's not a one to watch because we know the type of baller he is, but I feel like we haven't seen the best of him at Liverpool. We've seen glimpses, and you know there's times where you need to come out of that type of zone. Maybe playing for your country will give you like a boost that you need, because he's the type of midfielder that can genuinely carry a game by himself. Like he can carry a team. Do you know what I mean? We haven't seen it as Liverpool that much, but we've seen a few moments where we were thinking, oh, like this is the signing that they paid. What was it, 50 million or so for him? So yeah. I think him, and obviously he's got Moriba with him as well. I think that could be a good combination. But the others, nah, not really. No one wants to watch
me. Fair enough. I mean, yeah, like once again, like an unreal midfield partnership, Moriba and Keita. I mean, obviously Moriba hasn't played much since he went to Leipzig, but still exciting. I mean, from Senegal, you've got Papa Mata Sarr, who's the kind of the guy at Spurs bought from Metz last season. Everyone's getting excited. Bamba Dieng, he's been playing pretty well for Monaco. But for me, I think Ghana have two players I'm really looking forward to seeing. Kamaldeen Sulemana, he's been absolutely ripping it up for Rennes over in France this season. Could be playing Champions League football next year. He's like gone in there and completely outdone Jeremy Doku as sort of a signing winger. I mean, he was playing, I think, in the Danish league last season, so he's really stepped up. I think they bought him for about 11 million euros, but his quality, he's still only about 19 years old. And then I was doing some research. I need to say thank you to Pulse, the Nigerian website, for this, because they provided me with a name. I reckon this is one for the future. Fatawu Issahaku. He's a 17-year-old forward for Ghana. I think he's one of the five youngest players at the tournament. He plays for Dreams in Accra, which is in the Ghanaian Premier League. He scored 20 in 27 matches for Steadfast in the second tier of Ghanaian football, and he has 4 in 5 for Dreams. He captained the Ghanaian under-17s and was named the AFCON under-20s player of the tournament. All right. Last year.
I've never heard of him, you know. I'm going to go check his highlights still.
I'm telling you, Issahaku, he's one to watch. He clearly knows what he's doing. Only 17. He's whether or not he's actually going to play that much remains to be seen. But if he has a good tournament, if he has a few minutes, shows what he can do, certainly in the next few years, I'm telling everyone out there, I'm telling the audience that this guy is going to be one to watch. I mean, just quickly before we finish, I thought we could have a look at some of the kits at the tournament this year, because obviously Nigeria's World Cup kit in Russia was so like such a monumental moment.
Quality,
mate. Yeah, unreal. I think smash sales across the world. So I thought, and for the tournament, a lot of the teams have balled out once again with their choice. I mean, if we look, I think Senegal's home kit, that Puma shirt is pretty sweet.
Yeah,
I appreciate people at home won't be able to see this, but even Ghana as well. Like Ghana have come in with a really strong like kit this season. I mean, Sam, will you be picking up the Nigeria shirt once again?
Yeah, you know what? I've got the training top. Obviously, you lot can't see it because you can't see each other. But the training top, I wear it out in it. Like, it's fashionable. But the actual kit that they're wearing, like the home kit, is beautiful. And I'm not being biased, but I genuinely think that, like, a lot of these African nations' kits are quality. Ghana, even Algeria, like the design that they actually have on the kit.
Ghana's is nice, man.
Yeah, Ghana's,
I mean,
Ghana's.
Algeria has the little fox on the back because obviously they're known as the desert foxes.
Yeah.
Because most of Algeria is the Sahara. Yeah, Ghana's is nice, though. I was looking at Zimbabwe's as a colourful number. That's for certain. And there was one as well that I saw down here that I quite enjoyed. I hope I pronounced this right. Mauritania. That's the one.
Yeah.
Mauritania. That's a very, very nice kit. And also Cape Verde, because it looks a little bit like the Japan kit a few years ago.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Zimbabwe's kit is decent as well. No, it's a colourful. This tournament is very colourful, man. I like the fact that they've gone in so much detail with the kits and the designs. Like, none of the kits are basic in it, and that's just something that you love to see.
Mate, I'm rating Sierra Leone as well. Nice little Umbro number. So yeah. Anyway, check out
about,
at home.
Now, about Henry, I got a question for you. Yeah. Who do you? You're in the middle. Obviously, you have no African heritage in you. So I want you.
Excuse me. I am a quarter South African. So
are you actually?
You be quiet, my friend.
Okay.
South African accent. Do you bear South African accent?
The Bafana are not here, and I'm not going to do that, Zach. I'm not going to do anything remotely wow. cause any abuse.
Let me ask my question. Yeah, who do you think will go further? Who do you think will go further, Nigeria or Algeria?
I think they're both at least semi-finals, but I think Algeria. I still saw enough against Sierra Leone. It's so early in the tournament to say. I'm going to go for Algeria. I'd still back Nigeria to do very well at this competition.
Fair.
Senegal for me.
Are those your favourites? Yeah, you're going with Senegal to win it this year.
Yeah, but I'd like to see Mali win just because I like an underdog. Why not? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? But yeah, we'll see. Sorry if we haven't been able to mention your preferred nation in this podcast. We tried to cover as much as we can.
We should do another catch up after the group game
before the final, and see what
everyone's saying. See if we're both still in the competition. You know, what I mean, that'll be great. But yeah, no, I think this competition is going to be very exciting. Obviously, the first round of results were, you know, a lot of nil-nils and 1-0s and that. But like I said, jitters, first game. I genuinely think that the next few games are going to be quite exciting. Everyone's found their feet now. So yeah, we'll see what happens, man.
Now, let's see. I mean, listen, we've got a lot of African content out at the moment. You can check out our video on the Super League, the African Super League, which I think McCubbin scripted recently. We've got another one on sort of underrated African stars. And also, if you hark back, we made a great video on sort of why West Africa has become such like a production line of amazing footballers. So go check that out on Euro Football Daily. Zach and Sam, thank you very much for joining me
this week
on the podcast. Zach, is there anything you want us to push to, or any last sort of like rallying cry for Algeria?
Yeah, 1-2-3, vive Algerie.
All right, Sam, anything from you?
Go on, what's your one?
I'm you know what, I was gonna sing a Wizkid song or a Burna Boy song, yeah, but my voice is feeling a bit croaky right now. All I'm gonna say is
not a real one, is it?
I'm just gonna say Super Eagles, we got this. Yeah, if you're supporting Nige, just know, believe in the team, believe in the energy, keep dancing, we're going to keep soaring, we're going to keep flying, yeah? That's it from me. And check out Snapchat.
just to give people something to look forward to, if Nigeria win the AFCON, I will reveal the story about how when I used to be a dancer on a boat in Egypt for the people at home.
What? I need to hear that story, man. What?
It's a true story. A paid dancer on a boat.
Hurry
up.
Oh my god.
So, you've lived a life.
You have lived an interesting life, bro.
Something to think about for any of the lucky people that have lasted this long. All right, that's it. Thank you for listening wherever you are, whatever sort of podcast device you might be using. Make sure you subscribe to the channel as always, and we'll catch you next time. Bye bye.
Peace.